Welcome to this conversation. I'm your host, Teresa Keller. And boy, we're just taking a walk on the wild side today. We're going to be talking about scuba diving, of all things, with my guest, Alan Linkus. It's spring, summer coming on, and people are looking for activities, and the adventurous minded might want to find our guest today. Thanks for being here, Alan Linkus.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So Adventure Diving is the name of your company. And right. You operate from Bristol?
Yeah, we're out here on 421 going towards South Holston Lake. We've been here 36 years now.
Alan Linkus, where did this come from? Where did you get started in scuba diving?
Well, I was playing in a band, and we were a road traveling band. We went up through Minnesota, and we played in a town called Brainerd on 620 Front Street. I remember the address very well. There was a scuba diving shop called Minnesota School of Diving. I walked in, smelled, back then it was all rubber products, so it had a unique smell to the store, and fell in love with it. And the instructor up there was a school teacher. He said, if you want to take lessons, I can teach you early in the morning. Well, you imagine how hard it is playing in a band up in the wee morning and then getting up a couple hours later and going to the YMCA, taking scuba diving lessons. Well, me and the drummer took the class, got certified, and we had a phone call that we'd had a boat accident down here and there was a person missing. So my instructor did that stuff with the sheriff's office up there, did body recoveries. So he actually came back to Tennessee with me and we dove on that wreck. And then he said, while we're down here, why don't we just do your advanced class? So we were diving in the lakes and doing different things. So I actually got certified advanced at that point. Well, work my way up now through master instructor after 53 years of doing this now. So that's how I got started.
Now, let's back up here. You were in Minnesota traveling with a band. Just for the record, what was the name of the band?
Oh, boy, the Traveling Salvation Show.
The Traveling Salvation Show, okay.
Which turned into the Traveling Starvation Show.
Okay, well, we need to catch up on that, too, about your musical involvement. But first of all, you were in Minnesota, and you said you got a call that there had been a boating accident down here. You mean back home here in Bristol?
South Holston Lake, yep.
So why did they call you? You're up there with a band.
Well, I got a call from a family member of a friend of the family that I knew that was involved in the wreck.
So in other words, they were just informing you there's been a boating accident.
Yeah, that, you know, some people we knew was in a boating accident. The guy was missing. It was a speedboat and it caught on fire. They jumped into the water and the guy had handed off the daughter to the mother and then he went missing.
You jump into action to come back to just be with the family, be with the friends, or to help?
To help. Actually, we dove trying to find the body. We actually did, you know, work with the sheriff's department because my instructor had been involved in that for years and knew, you know, how to handle situations like that. Sadly enough, we never did recover anything. And to this day, I don't know that whatever happened to,
Oh, my goodness. Do you still stay involved with performing in a band?
Yes, I do. I'm still playing. Played with Retroville for like 16 years. Currently, I'm playing with a band called Double Tap. Me and the guitar player from Retroville got a little two-piece band going. And still involved in, actually, you know, the public safety diving aspect, which I work with the Sullivan County Sheriff's Office as a coordinator for their underwater investigation team.
All right. Well, so I think we've covered the beginnings and the trails that go off in all kinds of directions that now maybe we can focus on our original topic, which is adventure diving and what all you do. Let's start with the public safety aspect then, because it seems like that's full circle. That's kind of where it started with this dive to try to recover a body and being involved with the sheriff's office. How often do you get, do you do things like that?
Oh, it's sadly enough, like 2 years ago, we had four drownings within sight of the 421 bridge. Other than just, you know, body recovery stuff, we do evidence recovery. You'll have break-ins. People steal safes. They steal guns. They throw them in the water. People steal cars, and they'll drive them into the water. So you never know. We're on a 24/7 call out. The phone could ring while we're talking now, and they have to interrupt our podcast to go out on a call.
Well, this is just blowing my mind. Those are things that I have never thought about. I'm sure other people do. Tell us some stories, a couple of stories of evidence recovery and what you found.
Well, I'm going to leave names
Yes, please.
of course, and because some people may see this and the incident itself may bring back memories and stuff. It's one of the most interesting ones. Years ago, I was sitting there watching TV at 11 o'clock, and the news come on, two people had drowned at Boone Lake. So next morning I get a phone call and they go, "Hey, this is in your area. It's in Sullivan County, because part of Boone Lake is in Washington County, and then the other part's in Sullivan County. And as you go into Sports Sonny's Marina, the right-hand side land over there is in Washington County, left-hand side Sullivan County." Well, this lady and guy was out on their boat. It's twi I mean, dusky dark. The guy decides to go take a dip in the water. He doesn't come back up. So the wife starts screaming, flags down a boat. Boat comes by and goes, "My husband hasn't come back up. Yeah, we need help." So he goes into Sonny's Marina to get help, comes back. Well, the girl's missing. So they're going, two people are, presumed drowned. Over on the Sullivan County side, this guy said, "I found a blue life jacket on my fence, that wasn't mine." And they got on the boat and got a driver's license. And one of the witnesses that come by said, "I saw somebody swimming, saw a guy swimming in the shore, had cut off, jeans and stuff." And the driver's license, they go, "Oh yeah, that's him. That's him." Now we're going, well, we've got a guy that's probably faked his death and has done something with his wife, we're thinking. So a couple days later, this guy goes out in his shed, and there's this lady in there just shaking and carrying on. She's going, "Pebble Beach, Pebble Beach." Well, it ended up being that she was the one that swam into shore. The Pebble Beach was a little rocky area that in a guy's yard that she had swam to. So we called, we had dogs out, we dove. I mean, it's a pretty wide area in the lake. We got to come down from Michigan with the side scan sonar. And we made up this cage out of copper and piping and chicken wire that would give a reflection off the sonar. So we went by up and down through there and saw what looked like a body. So I was in another boat. The guy says, "Drop it right there." Well, when I dropped it, we went back, took another picture, and the cage is laying right across the chest of the victim. So we go down. And sure enough, he's under the cage. We bring him out. So we got to the surface. His head rolled back like that, and he had a big old gash across his
Oh,
ear.
a cutthroat.
Cut throat. So what my interpretation of this is, she starts the boat. She starts to back up to get him or whatever. He pushes off, turns like that. It gets him, and she just goes crazy. That's why, she swam the shore, snuck, nobody knew where she was for 2 days. So it was just one person. That was kind of interesting, a situation that went on for a couple of days before we
Kind of
saw
interesting to
him.
say the least. You should write a book. But so it
Well, that's
wasn't like she would murdered him. I'm thinking she cut his throat and threw him in the water.
no. It was, boat probably hit him on that, but
Wow. Wonder where she is today and how traumatized she remains. What a story. My guest today is Alan Linkous. We were going to talk about adventure diving, and what we're talking about is music and body recovery and all kinds of drama, but that's the life of Alan Linkous. What a fascinating guest, and thank you for being here, Alan. You call this the safety diving aspect of your business, the work with the sheriff's department, work with these kinds of forensic incidents. What else do you do at adventure diving?
Oh, we certify people. You have to be certified to be able to purchase. scuba gear, which is life support, and to get your tanks filled with your air, you have to have a certification card. So we do that from beginner to assistant instructor.
Give us an idea of the kind of people who come there. What does it cost? What do they wind up doing?
Well, cost is like anything else. It's cheaper than actually playing golf. For what you pay for a nice set of Ping golf clubs, you can buy your scuba gear. Lessons are cheaper than tennis by the hour or piano lessons. We do open water dives out at the South Holston Lake or Gray Quarry. We have a pool on premises. So the order of things is you sign up for the class. We have online academic sessions where you do all your classroom stuff. Then we stick you in the pool for 2 to 3 days, for 2 to 3 hours a day, and do the basic skills. And everything's based around safety. We teach you stuff that 99% of the time will never happen to you. But if it does, here's what you do. For example, my mask, somebody kicked my mask, it got flooded. Well, naturally, you want to suck it up your nose, cough, and get gagged and choke on it. So we're going to prevent that from happening by teaching you how to exhale and clear your mask. The regulator falls out of your mouth. You don't want to stick it back in your mouth and just take a breath of water. So we teach you how to clear that mask. Buoyancy control, you don't want to jump in and sink to the bottom of a 2,000-foot wall in Cayman Islands. So we're going to teach you how to float, neutrally in the middle of the water when necessary, how to sink when you need to, and then how to rise when you want to go back to the surface. And most of the things, like I say, we teach you, they never happen to you. But if they do, this is what you do.
I'm having a serious anxiety attack just hearing this.
Oh, hey, 10-year-olds take the same class.
So
Yes.
there's no minimum age for
Except
learning.
10. Yeah, you got to be 10.
10 or above.
Above, and then at 10 and 11, they have to dive with a parent or guardian. And then from 12 to 15, they get a junior open water certification. And they have to dive with someone legal age with 18. And then from 15, you can imagine 2 15-year-olds going out here in the lake. Mama's worry about that all the time.
Yes, I bet. Why do most people come? What is it that they want to do? They want to, I mean, we're obviously not near the ocean. I think of this as something for ocean, but I guess it's also for lakes. But what are most people coming to you for? Why do they want to do it?
Well, if you've seen movies, television ads, look how much scuba diving has been introduced to it. And people see them swimming amongst the fish and the corals, and it's beautiful. And they go, man, I'd like to do that. Well, we actually created that opportunity here 51 years ago when we started teaching here in East Tennessee. And people say, you're crazy. I mean, people ain't gonna dive out here. It doesn't have to be here, even though it is fun here. But we set you up to where you can go to the ocean and you can see the other world that's on this earth.
You can learn here with you and then take it to the local lake, or you can take it to the ocean and the coral
Anywhere
reefs.
you,
And
once you're certified, you can dive anywhere you want.
tell me some of your experiences in deep water diving and things that you've seen that transformed you.
When you step off the boat or you walk into the shore, you're going into another world, a whole different world. We're not in a capsule floating out in space and can't see anything and interact with anything. People are amazed at space, but we're right here on this earth and we're wasting our life and not experiencing, this kind of thing that you can do that's available to you. We're Very few people are going to go to space, but this is what we call inner space. And you got outer space, inner space.
What are some of the experiences? I mean, interactions with this would come to my mind just as somebody who kind of hears waves of information and never really took it seriously. Interactions with sharks, interactions with other creatures that you remember.
That's the best part about it is the interaction. When you see a big old 6-foot wingspan on a spotted eagle ray, it just takes your breath. When a shark goes by, first time you've ever seen one, you'll kind of, but then you'll realize they don't bother you. You're in their environment. Anytime anybody's got attacked by a shark, they've either been either fishing and carrying their fish around them and it's blood and they're just going after the food, or they keep antagonizing the shark. When you see a shark will usually go away from you. Well, you've got this camera and you try to chase that shark down. Well, the shark starts zigzagging back and forth, going, "Leave me alone." You keep coming with that camera, that shark will put that pectoral fin up and snarl like a dog, and you might as well just go get bit, you know. But the sharks are great to see. Nurse sharks are gentle, and sometimes we'll just go down there and they'll come up and rub beside of us and we'll just pet them. So sharks are not to be feared, and that's what I get the most here is I'm scared to death of sharks.
Sharks get a bad rap, is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
And generally, it's the goofy people who are doing things wrong.
Yep.
What other things do people do wrong when they're down in the ocean?
One thing is training. You got to have good training. If you get in there and you're thrashing around, can't control your buoyancy and you're kicking all down in the coral. You see something back up in this hole and you stick your hand back up in there and there's a moray eel in there. There's no song about see the thing in the reef with the big shiny teeth. It's a moray. Put your hand
Yes.
in the crack and you won't get it back from a moray.
Yeah. Oh, gee, I was
So,
thinking it was Italian and talking about love. What am I
yeah,
thinking?
right. Love for the ocean.
So what happens when you, what does a moray eel do to you?
Well, they have real sharp, nasty teeth. So even if you got bit, you'd probably have a bad infection. But just like I say, just don't antagonize the things. Go down and look at them. When they want to be left alone, leave them alone.
I don't have a lot of ocean experience, but I remember I was in Hawaii decades ago and just snorkeling and saw coral reef. It was beautiful. Oh, breathtakingly colorful and beautiful.
Yep.
And in more recent years, I've seen reefs in Cuba and the Great Barrier Reef. They ain't beautiful like that
We're having a
anymore.
problem. We're having a problem with, you hear this every day about global warming or climate change, and it is happening. It's bleaching out the coral. You can go down and see a brain coral. You reach and feel the brain coral, it's hard and it's swiveled around. You leave thinking nothing's happened. Well, the bacteria and stuff off of your hand leaves an impression on that coral. You come back next year and that thing's probably halfway diseased and eaten up. So we don't touch anything. When we get in the water, we stay in the water. We don't sit down on the sand. We stay in mid-water. We get right back out, you know, on the boat without touching anything. The temperature, you know, makes it hard for the coral. So it's called bleaching out. And that's why we have having problems now with a lot of coral bleaching. And there's just nothing you can't go down there and say, we're going to throw this in like treating my pool, you know, to make it clear. There's nothing we can do about that. It's just part of what's going on now.
The last experience I had, they didn't force it, soap us down or anything like that. But the idea that we would go in with sunscreen on was totally forbidden because I
Yep.
guess it's the same thing you're talking about.
Oils and stuff coming off of you. Yep.
So we mess up everything, don't we, Alan Linkus?
We do. I mean, the humanity is just unrelentless and forgiving of the environment we live in.
Well, on that happy note, what else would you like to add for people who are thinking about these issues or thinking about scuba diving? I would say the experience of scuba diving probably turns you into a missionary on environmental issues.
Can we have Project Aware through PADI? PADI is the Professional Association of Diving Instructors. And through Project Aware, we teach people things like I'm telling you, you know, don't touch the coral. We do cleanups. You see something trashy laying down there, and you can, you know, pick it up and bring it out of the water with you.
Is it the other image that I have because of TV commercials that I've seen is just tons of plastic, tons of waste? Do you see that? What's that like?
No, we actually don't. Where we go, we don't see it. Now, if you live in like cities that are around the oceans and stuff, you might see that more. But we go to tropical paradise type places that are tuned in for scuba divers. The resorts, you know, have boats. The resorts have dive sites on them, I mean, dive stations, you know, that you can get your air, you can get your equipment repaired if you need. Dive masters that'll leave you on guided tours. So we don't actually see the piled up trash like you would in a third world, so to speak.
Well, let's talk about those beautiful images. So Let's say that I come take scuba diving lessons with you, and then I want to go on a trip. What kind of trips do you have? Where do you go? How many people do you take at a time?
Well, we have taken as many as 52, average back a few years ago when we had travel agents that we would use. Now we have the internet. So people get on the internet and start booking their own trips and the groups, you'll have a couple or two couples might want to go. The groups aren't as large as they used to be because people just, they can go at their time they want. When we do a trip, we go, oh, we've got school that week. We've got a business meeting that week. We've got a wedding that week. We can't go the week that I planned it. So they get online and do their own trips now.
Give me an example where, if I
Oh,
get a group of
example
six
where?
people, 10 people, where are you going to offer me to go?
Well, our normal routine, our best sites that we go to, well, I've been to Bonaire about 28 times. I've been to Cozumel 46 times. We do Dominican Republic, do Cayman Islands, we do Barbados, Belize, just anywhere you want to go. And we're looking at, we had a guy in here yesterday trying to promote Bakwa Lagoon in Fiji. It's unlimited where we can go. And if you want to go somewhere, we'll put a trip together for you.
All right. Well, I'll tell you, my husband would love it. He used to scuba dive. He hasn't done it in a long time. I guess you could renew his certification.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Fabulous. Well, now, Alan Linkus, adventure guy, let's get real here. You're doing a million things, but you're also fighting some health issues that I'm wondering are if they are related to the scuba diving and your history and adventure.
Well, the health issues, I guess you're talking about my knees.
Yeah, that's what I
trying
understand.
to get some knee replacements in here because it's, if you ever experience it, it's kind of aggravating. Every time you try to get up and walk, every step you take, it hurts. Or you're laying around the house, you move your leg, and there's this big snap. And then my girlfriend looks over and goes, "Is that you?" I go, "Yeah, it's me." But I don't know. It's just, I'll be 74 in September. So, I mean, I've been very active, playing in bands for years and diving. I don't know how many times do you do this, on a dive, so I may have
You're
worn
gesturing like moving your
fins.
fins and
Yeah,
yeah, like a
your
fish.
knees are going like that. So, but on the other hand, I've got some friends that are in their 50s and have already had double knee replacement.
Yeah. In
So,
my world, at my age, everybody I know's got had something replaced.
well, yeah, absolutely.
Just get rebuilt. But anyway, you are facing knee surgery. That's what's coming up.
Yeah, May 13th, we're going to the Albino Skunk Festival on May 8th in Greer, South Carolina. We have a motor home. We go twice a year to the music festival. Get home on Sunday, the 12th, and Monday morning I'll be in there. But everybody I've talked to, the doctor I've got's excellent and should be a piece of cake.
All right, now you had also mentioned when I was asking if you'd be willing to do this interview and you were talking about your knee issue, I believe that there was a motorcycle history with you as well.
Oh yeah, a long time ago, back in the 70s, I had a bad wreck. But I tell people, take these fingers and lay them back here, and they go, "I can't." And I show them my scars and all this. I did. I broke my arm back over
And your
here.
fingers got bit and your bone broke and your fingers were back at your elbow.
Yep. As a matter of fact, this is my bass player. I play bass like the Doors. Ray Manzarek from the Doors plays bass over here and then plays keys over here, and that's what I do. I'm the string get keyboard bass player in the band.
You obviously recover well from your issues
Yep.
with bones and breakage and stuff.
Five-way bypass, 300 surgeries, gallbladder remover, back surgery.
That's what adventure will do for you.
That's
I'll
exactly
tell you
right. But
what,
look, we're still here.
yes, and so you're having medical adventures as well as adventures with diving and all around the world and beautiful resorts and taking people for experiences of a lifetime.
Can I
All
bring
right.
up a fun fact? All
Sure, fun fact.
right, fun fact. If back in the 70s, there was a guy that had moved here to Bristol, and he was fascinated with the lake. Where they built the lake, there was a cemetery on what they call Brown's Bottom, so they dug up those graves and they moved the graves up here. If you go to the dam now, To the left of the maintenance building, there's a set of tombstones, 1700s, 1800s of people that were buried in brown cemeteries, so they wouldn't be underwater when they flooded the, lake to make the dam. So this guy's idea on the lake was he came out with this book, Dawn of the Vampire.
Dawn
Keep
of the
it.
Vampire by William Hill is what I'm seeing on the screen
Right.
here.
So it goes like this: Rithville Cemetery, which he calls Rith Brown Cemetery, rested quietly under South Holston Lake, but now the receding waters expose the island of graves. The coffin should have been moved when the dam was built, but no one had wanted to go near the cursed ground. No one wanted to touch those rotting caskets. Some things were best left alone. But now, as the tombstones emerged in a drought, the lake went down out here to South Holston. So did the unstaked dead that had been buried beneath them.
Oh my goodness. Alan Linkus, my guest today, Dawn of the Vampire by William Hill. There's your recommendation for
Right, so
reading.
here's the cool part. We've become really good friends. He actually comes to town and stays with us. He lives in Colorado. He will be back in town the first part of October. So if people get this book, read it, fall in love with William Hill and want to meet him, he'll be at the Bristol Library in October, and he's going to be at Kingsport Library and Johnson's. He's taking three or four little shows he's going to do while he's in.
All
But
right.
I promise you start reading it, you can't put it down.
All right. Alan
It's
Linkus,
fiction, but
Adventures from Adventure Diving. You can find out more information at adventurediving.com. It's
correct.
in Bristol, and Alan can point you to a book to read. He can take you to some exotic resort and show you a new world underwater. Thank you for being with me. What a pleasure to talk to you, Alan.
Thank you. It was fun.
Thanks again to Alan Linkus, adventurediving.com. Thanks to the listeners for tuning in. You can find us Wednesdays and Sundays, Wednesdays at 6, Sundays at 2 here on WEHC. And you can find our podcast site by searching for or telling Alexa or Google WEHC podcast, this conversation. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. See you next time.